Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard.
All right, David Garrard's in the house. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, who have been doing tremendous work over the last few weeks on the First Coast. I have recommended so many people to Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, and they have been very impressed with the work that he's been doing in post-Hurricane Matthew. So hopefully you don't need that kind of service, but if you do, we'll tell you about Bob and his company as we go along today. David and Tony in the house today. Apparently I can't distinguish one color from one that's nowhere close to it on the spectrum. But, Dave, I just gave you the quick update there as the Open was rolling. Aussie Jag, who is a Jaguar fan from Australia, you might have figured that out, right? He ran a little Twitter poll, and we retweeted it out there last week. Officially, 269 people responded, and they were asking, who is your favorite weekly co-host on Jaguars Today? And, you know, don't tell the other guys, but I had to pick one, you know, in order to view the results, and I may have voted for David Garrard. despite that, Loggeman 35%. Right, Loggeman's a popular guy, right? O'Halloran at 23%. That's the people, that the angry crowd out there, right? They find some recognition in a guy who's just like them and Ryan O'Halloran. Then you came in third with 22%, statistical dead heat. And, of course, Ogier. We call him number four now. So, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I can't believe I beat out Ogier.
Well, there you go. Maybe the whole thing is flipped upside down.
Yeah.
You know how internet trolls are these days. They probably voted the opposite way. But how you doing? Everything good?
Everything is great. Doing wonderful.
We're going streaking, man. We're streaking.
I know. Can you believe it?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's so funny. I had to say this. I was at the game. Of course, you guys know that.
I know.
The game ended. I'm like, we won. I don't know how, though. It did not feel like we went out there and won that game. But at the end of it, we won. I just know that Aurelius Ben caught the ball, fell down, got up, and scored. That honestly felt
the rest
like
of it's a blur. Even that's a bit of a blur,
yes.
Right? I talked to Aurelius, by the way, on Wednesday. You'll hear that interview coming up on the pregame show on Sunday, kind of looking back at that moment and just, you know, staying ready. Can you recall a game in your career when you wore the orange of East Carolina or here in Jacksonville?
Or the purple and gold.
The purple and gold. That you won a game, and at the end of it, you just thought, how did that happen? I mean, can you recall a specific performance by your team that you just thought, there is no way we deserve to be walking away with a W, yet you did?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few of them. There were two here at home. We played Cleveland one time, and we played the Texans one time. Cleveland, we were kind of back and forth, and at the end of the game, I think I threw an interception, gave them a chance to go down and score, and I thought, man, we only have a few minutes left. We got a chance to go back down, and that's when I dumped it off to Mojo on a screen, and he ran like 65 yards, got tackled at the two, and we actually wound up winning that game. The other one with the Texans, it was really back and forth. I mean, it came down to three-minute drive where we had the ball. They were playing great on defense. They were defending the pass really well, and I just took it upon myself to just start running with the ball like five or six times on that drive, and I was so dead dog tired by the time we scored. I didn't even have time to even enjoy the fact that we had just won that game. But there were a lot of times where we got down, and especially when it was my fault that we got down, where I just felt like, I have to do something now. And whether it's completing passes or running to get the first down to keep the chains moving, I would just always put it on my shoulders, put it on my back, and do whatever was necessary to get us that chance to get us in scoring position, then give us a chance to win.
In those circumstances, did you find what carried over was more the sloppy play from week to week, or the fact that you were able to overcome it? Was there something that you were able to say, you know, we can take some momentum off this, no matter if we played bad for 59 minutes, if you find a way in that final minute? Jags basically three quarters of not so great football, offensively at least.
Yeah.
The defense is solid, but you know, what carries over from a situation like that, if anything?
Just being able to you know, overcome bad situations in a game and still go out and have a chance to win the game at the end, you know, because that's the majority of the games in the NFL. They always come down to the last 2 minutes, it seems like. And when you can go out the week before and have a gritty, gutsy comeback finish, especially, like I said, in those two games, I think I was directly the reason why we went down, you know. And so for me, it was a chance to overcome mistakes and overcome that, you know, feeling of wanting to go climb in a hole somewhere, you know, because you blew the game. It's like, I don't have time for that. You know, my team is counting on me right now, so I can't go hide somewhere. It's time to, you know, put up or shut up.
And that's in the NFL. The bottom line is getting the W, man.
Yeah,
right. So
absolutely.
I mean, you can play poorly. I would imagine you still want to correct the mistakes you make, but you probably feel good regardless. As long as you win on Sunday, I would imagine you're feeling pretty good on Monday when you're watching the film, even though you're seeing some things that put you in a bad situation.
Yeah. Well, a win makes everything a little bit better. It makes when you're sore, it makes that feel a little bit better. When you've got a headache, that, you know, it's just, everything's a little bit better when you win. And when you're watching game film of a game that you probably should have lost, it still feels better, you know, because you have that W in the column, and that's all you want.
Big yeah, but.
Yeah, but you still won. It's all good. You can yeah, but your way all the way to a Super Bowl if you want to.
You know what? We'll take it, man. I will take an ugly, ugly Jaguar victory this weekend against the Oakland Raiders. We'll talk a lot about that today.
Yeah.
Jags trying to go streak into 3-0, get to 500 for the first time in October or later.
A long time.
Since Gus Bradley's been coaching, they've never been 500 in the month of October or later. Last year, because they were 500 after 2 weeks, but went downhill from there. Let's hope. Worst defense in the National Football League coming to town.
Yeah.
You can throw on them. You can run on
them. Let's make them look like that.
That's exactly right. Treat them exactly the way the statistics show they've been playing so far this year. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, David Garrard here with you. And as is the typical way we do it on Fridays, your social media question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Give us 3 keys to extend the streak. We're going streaking this weekend, getting to 3-0. What are your 3 keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 7 of the National Football League season? Phone lines open to you at 641-1010. Also, the text line at that same number. It's driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at David Garrard 9. Let's talk Jaguar football for the next 2 hours, getting you ready for the Jags getting back to 500 this weekend against the Oakland Raiders. It's Jaguars today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Newsmakers, playmakers, and insiders from around the NFL join Jaguars today. And when they do, they appear on the Haviland Express Lube Hot Seat. Hot Seat. Listen to Mike and Tony every day for the latest scoops from Jacksonville and beyond. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're along with us. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard here with you live at Everbank in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio, where we will reconvene coming up on Sunday. Get you ready for Jags Raiders. Fred Taylor will be back in town doing post-game with JP and I, and he'll be up on the big board throughout the game as well as pregame coverage gets underway. Really at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, Tony, lay it out for us. What do you got? Where are you going to be?
We'll be out at Tailgaters Parking at 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. with Lauren Blythe and I, and getting things started for the Jaguars game day. And luckily, for the second consecutive week at least, we're going to be able to play the Jaguars song coming in. So it's going to be a Jags day. We only play it when they're winning. We played it for Green Bay, and then we cut it off after they started losing games so we can play it again this week. And hopefully next week when we're getting ready on a Thursday, I think coverage is actually going to start half an hour early on Thursday for us. So we're going to have 2.5 hours of pregame starting at 3 o'clock on Thursday, getting ready for the Titans Thursday night football. But yeah, we'll get it kicked off at 8 a.m. and then I'll be coming inside with you guys.
You
for
might
want to
bring one of those Jaguar sweatshirts of yours out there.
I might.
It's going to be down in the 40s on Saturday night day. They say near record lows as far as that goes.
Oh, it sounds nice.
I love it.
All
we,
that means
we
is
need
I get
that
to play golf in long sleeves, which I love doing, go, man. By the way, you weren't here, which somebody pointed out you would have gotten more votes if you didn't take so many Fridays off. But you weren't here following the week in which we played in the Fantasy League. You beat me. So if you want to talk some smack, you're certainly welcome to. Somehow I've cobbled together a 3-2-1 record, which is just good enough for a half-game lead in our division right now. Tony's in that league. We've got 3 Jaguars today leagues. Tony's 6-0. So
and
he,
I looked at his team, and I'm not sure how.
Favorable scheduling.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those things. It's one of those where you see a guy and he's
keep
like
pushing the right buttons.
There you go.
Average points against, and it's way below the
exactly.
league average. Hey, whatever the case may be, everybody else is still in the mix. Nobody's more than like a game out of second place in either of the divisions. So we're hanging in there. And you got 28 last night out of Randall Cobb. And Jordy on the other side got one. So yeah. That doesn't seem equitable.
I'm not sure what's going on with Jordy, too.
Like, man.
They've been talking about him not separating and all that kind of stuff.
But. Well, and I could see that last night that he had the one deep shot in the first half that I thought, you know.
The guy climbed up on his back.
Yeah, he climbed up on him. But you didn't see – a lot of times you see Jordy get two yards behind those guys. I think Rodgers had him another time, and he didn't fire it. You know, the one they kind of broke down where Jordy started to pull away from
a
guy.
That one.
But from that point on, man, Devontae Adams is just unbelievable.
They found a weak link on the other side.
Holy cow. Apparently, and they exploited it over and over, and now the Bears are really in the tank. I mean, Hoyer's done. Broken arm. You got Barkley coming in there. They're going to sign somebody off the street.
Kevin White.
I would imagine to see Cutler making his way back out there.
I would think you would see Cutler coming back as quickly as possible as well. There's no more a question who will remain the quarterback or who will become the quarterback when Jay Cutler is healthy. Let's get out to the phone lines for the first time today. 641-1010. We're going to go to Sean on the south side talking about keys to the Jags extending their winning streak. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, I wanted to just tell David Garrard, man, since I was a kid, man, I've been a big Jaguars fan, man, and appreciate all he did for the Jags, man, and that's all I wanted to say on that part, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The three keys to victory, I just say, man, that the Jags, they need to control time of possession, play good defense, and don't turn the ball over. I mean, that's pretty much all I can say. Keep Derek Carr and the Raiders on that sideline. Control time of possession, man. Don't turn the ball over. That's it, man. I take it out there.
Thank you, Sean. I think not turning it over is a key to time of possession here. I mean, look, you should be able to have offensive success against this Raiders team, Dave. They are giving up, I think, about 312 yards a game on average passing. They're giving up 4.8 yards a carry on the ground. Tony, what did you say, yards per attempt?
8.9 yards per attempt against the Raiders defense.
Defensively.
Wow.
I mean, when Rodgers was having his best seasons, he was like 8.3, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is nearly a first down every time you drop back.
So if you want to get off the schneid a little bit with confidence, like with Blake, you want to go up against a team like the Raiders.
You would think, right? I mean, you would think this is the best opportunity. Now, they can score in their own right.
You know? Now, they have a pretty potent offense. You know, they can get up and down the field.
Although, I don't know if the running game is going to have a ton of success. I would worry more about them hitting the Jags, catching the ball out of the backfield. But I think the Jags' run defense is starting to round into form.
When I think of the Jags, I don't normally think of being worried about the run game killing our defense. It's, you know, giving the quarterback too much time in the pocket and letting him throw it to guys like Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. You know, those are the things that worry me. You know, just watching the game last week and watching Ramsey kind of getting worked in the first half there, he looked like a rookie. You know, he looked like a rookie, and Alshon Jeffries was – he was giving him the business. I mean, he was doing everything at will. Whatever he wanted to do, he was making it happen. But, of course, he turned it around in the second half and made that great play at the end of the game there, which is what you want to see from an up-and-coming young guy that has that swagger like he likes to portray. You don't want to see him, you know, kind of shrink off and keep letting a guy make all these plays. So I thought that was great. I thought that showed a lot of moxie, a lot of, just what you want to see from a corner that is on your team, that I'm not afraid when the game is on the line to jump in here and make a play.
It's not false confidence. He's not just going out there with a bunch of bravado trying to convince everyone else that he believes it. He really believes that – he probably believes he's as good as anybody in the NFL at that position.
Exactly. I like guys like
that. Whether he is or not, he can get there.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the ability to get there, and he has the mindset to get there. You're right. One catch for 3 yards after halftime, and I feel the same way as you. It did, you know, he got turned around quite a bit in the first half, but, hey, I'll take Jalen Ramsey on this team, guarding the top receiver on the other team every day of the week, and I think the Jags have a very good chance to come out on top in that matchup. Let's get Jake on the west side in next year on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jake.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
David, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hey, so listen, the three keys to winning on Sunday, number one, we got to run the ball. I know it's been tough. Guys are beat up on that O-line, but, you know, we got to run it. The passing game is okay, but I think it would be better if we can complement it with the running game. Number two, we got to take care of the ball. Can't fumble it, can't turn it over, no interceptions, because even though that we're facing not a good defense, any bad defense can still turn a turnover into 6 points, and it's something that we just don't need. Number three, we just got to stay consistently strong on defense. I think that Telvin Smith, Ramsey, the guys on the D-line are all doing a great job, and we just got to continue to do that. So thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, Jake. I appreciate that. Dave, you got a team that is struggling to run the football. They'd like to run the ball. I mean, they'd like to have the running game dictate what they're able to do in the passing game. It hasn't been good. You know, a decent game against the Indianapolis Colts, but for the most part, you know, you could pick a drive here or there where they've had some success. But what do you want to see them try to come out and do? Would you rather say, you know what, right now the running game's not working, I'm not going to force it, this is also the worst pass defense in the league, let's establish that and maybe that will loosen up things for the running game? Or do you go out and say, 4.8 yards a carry, we need to prove that we can run it when we want to here? How would you approach this?
Well, maybe we just need to follow what the Packers did last night and put Hearns back there in the backfield. And
apparently so, right?
I mean, let's just put a wide receiver in the backfield and watch him run all over the place.
It works for Aaron Rodgers, at least.
Yeah. you know, they do have to stick with it because it's going to pop eventually, and I hope. I think a lot of it has to do with the blocking from the offensive line, honestly. Just because it seems like there's always a guy right there with their hand on the running back after about three or four steps, and there's no lanes. There's no canales, like Merrill Hodge likes to say.
Nice.
You know, there's none of that. And we should see that every once in a while. We should see them open up a hole where the running back doesn't get touched for 5 or 6 yards, but we're not seeing it. We're seeing them have to shed a guy in the backfield just to get back to the line of scrimmage and then maybe make 2 or 3 more yards. It just seems like they're always running uphill. There's always a wall right there in front of them, and I'm not sure if that's scheming a better scheme or the running backs not having what you would think Ivory would, just because he's been in the league for a while, knowing where the best setup is, you know, because you can cut it back at times when you know the defense is overplaying things or if they're lined up in a certain lineup that allows you to do that. That's what Mojo did a lot of. He would set it up front side and then know he had that backside cut. And you're just not seeing those kind of things. So I think it's a combination of all. I think just like as a quarterback, you can lack confidence throwing the ball. As a running back in the running game, you can all lack confidence in getting up, mauling guys. You see a lot of times the defensive line is across our line of scrimmage. We're not drive blocking them down the field. So I don't have one thing that I can say is the reason why. But it just there's no confidence. There's no you don't see very many times where our offensive line has pushed them, you know, back on their side of the ball. So there's a lot of things wrong with it. But this is a good game to kind of get it, you know, back on track.
It needs to be, right?
Yeah.
If you don't get it done,
and
this
that
week
will help Blake when there is a decent run game. I mean, you want to be able to hand the ball one time and you see 15 yards down the field. That's a big chunk.
Yep.
And we're just not getting that at all.
All right, let's get back to the phone, 641-1010. Nick is in Pittsburgh next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
I was just going to make a prediction for the Jaguars game on Sunday. I'm going to say 24-21, Jaguars. Jason Myers makes a four-yard field goal. I hope Blake Bortles doesn't turn over the ball in the red zone like he did during the Bears game. That's one key. I think that's most important. Because Bortles just looks tight, and he just doesn't look relaxed. I don't know what you guys think. And thanks for taking my call. And David Garrard, I'm a big fan too.
All right,
thanks, buddy.
There you go. Thank you, Nick. I think he's. I think you know, Blake has lacked confidence in it. To me, as a layman watching it, you know, I mean, I can't get in his head. I'm not psychoanalyzing him, but you know, when I hear guys like Jeff and Tony continually in the broadcast point out, you know, if you just pull the trigger a little bit quicker, to me, just I think he's doubting himself a little bit, and I think that it's the turnovers that have piled up early in the season that have caused him to do that.
It absolutely is. You know, sometimes when you get in a game and you have a couple turnovers or a couple of interceptions, you almost feel like now every throw that I throw is going to be an interception. And so you do get a little bit gun-shy. I'm not saying that he's gun-shy, but he's definitely thinking about it a little bit
more.
Yeah,
where's that defender I didn't see on the last pick? He's coming if I throw it this time again.
They're somewhere. It just feels like every time the ball comes out of my hand, there's a chance for someone to pick it. And if you look at that first drive right down the field, man, he was crisp, sharp, throwing the ball to A-Rob. I mean, I thought, this is finally going to be that game where we go from start to finish and look really good. And then that interception happens, and then everything changes from that point. That's because you feel like, gosh, no matter what I do, there's always that time when the ball gets tipped up in the air and I just can't win for losing, you know. So that's when you just got to put everything out of your mind and just still don't care. Go out there ready to get the ball to your guys. And yes, you can tell that he's thinking a whole lot more than he has been in the past just because of his throwing mechanics. I mean, he's thinking just kind of backyard sling it out there, but that backyard sling it out there brings you back to old school routines, dropping the ball down, just more slinging it like a baseball, like he's, you know, he's played in the past. And so you don't, he doesn't, he's not staying fundamentally sound with that. And the balls are, some of them are looking terrible when they come out of his hands, you know. So that tells me he's gripping the ball really tight too. So there's a lot more on his shoulders this year than it has been in the past. In the past, we're not very good. Just go out there. I'm young. Have fun. Now we're supposed to be good this year. Everybody's counting on me to be good. And we still have these stupid turnovers. When, oh gosh, if you guys could have been sitting beside me in the stands, I was screaming, run, run. Because, I mean, the whole line just opened wide up on that interception in the first drive. But he did have A-Rob. But he didn't put it in front.
Right.
Put it low. Should A-Rob have caught the ball? Yes. It hit him in the hands. But that was a tough catch for him as you're falling to the ground, sliding in, and the ball's at your knees. Anytime the ball is at the receiver's knees, man, those knees have a tendency to be in the way when you're trying to catch that ball. And, you know, luck had it. We're tipped right back to the guy.
Right.
What a great play by him, because that happened fast.
Yeah.
You know, so it there's definitely things in his head, but this is one game that he has to get ready for where he can go out and make some great plays and get confident early.
All right, let's hope that's the case as we take a timeout here. We'll get more of your calls on the way back at 641-1010. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard here live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are on a two-game winning streak, but head coach Gus Bradley said on the Gus Bradley Show last night that that win streak is nice, but they have to look ahead to this Sunday against the Raiders.
It's really focused on this week, though. We've got a big challenge ahead of us. Those two games were big. We appreciate those things. But you know what? This team, you could quickly see their focus. It wasn't like a lot of celebrating. Guys were excited, but we knew the task at hand this week.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars today. Coming up at 11:35, we'll talk with Josh Dubois. He is the Associated Press reporter covering the Oakland Raiders. He'll be in town this weekend, and we'll get the latest on what's going on with Oakland. Why has Khalil Mack not been as dominant this year as he has in years past, and can he wait at least another week to get back on that path? By the way, let me tell you what's going on at Retro Fitness with David Garrard. If you join right now, you can join Retro Fitness for $10. You're not going to pay another penny until the first of next year. January 1st, they've extended that out. You can experience what being a member of a gym should really feel like. You've got a friendly staff, state-of-the-art equipment, obviously, goal planning, high-energy group classes, expert personal trainers, outdoor group training, which you always talk about, Dave. You're involved in that as well. And Retro Fitness, man, you're making things happen over there, right?
You know, it's great. And with those dollars that you're saving there by not paying until January 1st, you can get some personal training in. We have some of the best personal trainers in the city, I believe. You know, I've worked out for years here at the stadium, and I know what quality personal trainers are. And our guys do a great job of motivating you, cheering you on, pushing you, and teaching you all the things that you need to know when you're working out and putting you through different exercises that maybe you've never done before, and changing up your routine so that you can achieve some of the things that you've been trying to achieve. We had a lady in our gym that she hadn't been to Sunday school at her church in years because she had to walk up the stairs to get to it. And she started doing personal training at our gym, and she started within a month being able to go up those couple flights of stairs at her church to be able to go to Sunday school, and just little things like that. So it's not always you're trying to get the six-pack abs like I've been trying to do my whole life. It's, you know, it's things that are just everyday normal things that people are just trying to accomplish, little things, but haven't been able to just because they've been kind of stuck in a rut for a while. And so we're there to really help the community, help our members, you know, achieve some of those things in their life.
You can go to RetroJax.com and learn more, or you can just stop in 9802 Bay Meadows Road, 13475 Atlantic Boulevard. That is David Garrard's Retro Fitness here. Again, $10 down. Don't pay another penny until January 1st at Retro Fitness. Let's get back to the phone lines, guys, at 641-1010. Rick is out at NAS Jax. What's up, Rick? How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Great, thanks. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments here. You said the three things to the key to victory. To me, I think one of the key things there is to keep Blake on his feet. You know, if he can't, if the line has problems holding the line, you know, they should have him roll out because he does a lot of really good things when he rolls out of the pocket. You know, and you know, like Tom Brady, his receivers know when he's in trouble, and they're always there to. I think that's one thing that the receivers and Blake are going to have to mold or gel with, is knowing when he's in trouble and to rescue him. You know, second thing is get the running game going. I think if the running game gets going, I think Blake will stay on his feet quite a bit. And the third thing is just on the defense, just to keep the receivers of the Oakland Raiders in front of them, because knowing the receivers that they have, like Cooper, and the way Carr can sling that ball downfield, I think that if they don't keep them in front, they're gonna score a lot of touchdowns, which is what they do all year long.
Hi, Rick. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in. Dave, obviously you want to avoid giving up the quick strike score to that Raiders team. Make them, if they're going to drive it on you, make them prove that they can consistently string together with a running game that's not been all that hot. You know, they're not getting much production out of the tight end position. You know, it's Cooper, it's Crabtree, it's Seth Roberts to some degree. We saw Andre Holmes get in the end zone last week. But, you know, shutting down those wide receivers, or as Rick pointed out, just keep them in front of you. Don't give up that quick strike. How big is that in this game?
Well, it's real big. You know, anytime you can get plays that are explosive plays, that just kills your defense. You know, it really demoralizes them. And it, like you said, keep them in front of you. You know, don't let those guys, if they're going to make a catch, let them get that catch for 6-7 yards and then get them down, you know, because they're going to make plays. You just don't want those big explosive plays. If you can limit those, which it seems like every highlight when you watch it in the Oakland Raiders, there's a ball going over somebody's head. And that just – it fuels their team. And their defense is not very good, but they're a little bit better when their offense is out there clicking. You know, it gives them a little bit of energy and it gives them a little bit of pop. To go back to what he said about, you know, keeping Blake upright, I thought the offensive line did a great job against the Bears keeping Blake up. I didn't really notice that he got hit too many times. It didn't seem like he was always under duress. And so I think they are starting to come together a little bit. I'm not even sure who's playing on the offensive line now. It seems like everybody's been moved around and banged up. And but it does seem like things are starting to gel a little bit more with those guys.
I'll mention Ryan O'Halloran tweeted out that Kelvin Beachum, Jags left tackle, participated in the walkthrough today. He did not practice yesterday.
Yeah, Gus talked about it afterwards. He basically just said that they've been looking at that, especially with it being a short turnaround next week, that at some point here in the season they were going to start giving him some vet day offs. You know, just with him recovering from the ACL, it made sense.
That's good to hear, and so you should expect him to be full go for Sunday. Let's go out to the phones once again. Jim is on the south side now. He's on Jaguars today. Good morning, Jim. All right, Jim's not paying attention. Let's try Brian in Orange Park there, Tyler, if we can. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Great, thanks. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm looking back at this the Bears game last week, and I got to believe that if the game was played in the bank after that string of three and outs in the third quarter, that the hometown fans would have been just booing like crazy. And I don't think they'd win that game if that's the case. So I'm just wondering how David feels about hometown getting on your case while you're on the field doing your best to win a game. If it really has any effect on the team or not. Yeah, I'll listen offline.
Yeah, I definitely think it does. That's why sometimes I like to go on the road, you know, because I know everybody there hates me already. You know, so I'm not
what to expect.
Yeah, I'm not trying
to
please them. Yeah, exactly. But when you are at home and you're struggling and you're starting to get booed, I don't know. For me, it lights a fire on me because I want to get them to stop booing and start cheering again just because I feel like I'm playing in front of my family and friends. You know, so you definitely have more stress on you when you're at home just because you're trying to please your crowd. And when you are getting booed, it's tough, especially at home, you know, because they're supposed to be there having your back and, you know, through thick and thin and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes you need that fire lit underneath you. And
do you guys, as a player, be honest, did you get mad? Did you say they should be there through thick and thin? So, in other words, as a player, do you view it that when times are tough, why are you jumping off the ship here?
No. I mean, I completely understand it. Being a fan now, you know, I understand why they get mad at you because I'm sitting up in the crowd myself, frustrated, thinking, what in the world are we doing? Somebody please start booing them. You know, just because
it won't be me, but
somebody. You know, somebody else do it. But you're frustrated up there because you're like, we have much better talent on this team that we should not be out there playing like we are. I had a buddy with me in Chicago, and we're watching the game, and he's not a Jags fan, so he starts naming the guys that are on our team. He's like, wow, you've got this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy, and you guys can't put up any points? What in the world is going on? You've got this guy on defense and this guy and this guy, and you guys can't get any sacks? Oh, my gosh. He's an Eagles fan, so, you know, he always has something to say.
Enjoy it for now, Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Minnesota's coming.
But it does, when you really think about it and you start naming guys on our team, and you're like, wow.
The talent level's pretty good.
Yeah, how are we not better than we are right now? And, you know, a lot of it is the confidence with Blake and him not being super sharp and, you know, making a ton of plays because it starts with the quarterback. That's just how it is. And, you know, until he gets on that hot streak, you know, it'll continue to look like it.
Ideally, in regards to the fan support, Jags take advantage of the worst defense in the league and, you know, get some fourth quarter or first quarter touchdowns. And, you know, look, whether it's to silence the crowd or just because it's good to get first quarter touchdowns, I'd rather have it just because it's impact on the outcome of the game. But I think Jag fans want to be into this game. You know what I mean? I mean, they've given them a little hope. It hasn't been pretty, but yeah. They've won the last couple games. So since the last time they played in Everbank, they haven't lost. Got a chance to get back to 500 for the first time this late in the season under Gus Bradley. I know that's a low bar, mm-hmm. you know, but still, it's a step in the right direction.
Well,
so
there's something about a fast start. You know, everybody talks about it. Everybody wants it. So it's nice when you get off to a fast start. We haven't had one in quite a long time.
No.
I thought we were going to have it last week.
I did too.
And it didn't turn out that way.
We'll find out Sunday if they can turn that around. More of your calls coming up at 641-1010. He is David Garrard along with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Coming back, we've got This Date in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll talk a little Raiders coming up next hour as well with Josh Dubow with the Associated Press covering the Oakland Raiders. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History, October 21st. We'll go back to 1973, L.A. Rams defensive end Fred Dreyer. You know him as an actor as well, or you may if you're of a certain age. The first player he became on that date to record two safeties in one game as the Rams knocked off the Green Bay Packers 24-7. This date in 1989, here's a college football one for you. Andre Ware led Houston to becoming the first major college team to gain 1,000 yards of offense in a single game. 1,000 yards. That is just insane. Birthdays for this date, you're welcome, Patriots. Mo Lewis, born in the state in 1969. He is the one who hit Drew Bledsoe and injured him and opened the door for Tom Brady to come in and take over. He turns 47 today, three-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro. And out of the University of Miami, Willis McGahee, born in the state in 1981. He's 35 years old. As you recall, he was drafted in the first round. Despite tearing his ACL, the Bills sat on him for a season. He would go on to make a couple of Pro Bowls and be a four-time 1,000-plus yard rusher in the National Football League. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Green Bay Packers have placed running back Eddie Lacy on the injured reserve list, meaning he will miss the rest of the 2016 season in all likelihood with an ankle injury that looks like it's going to require surgery. Chicago Bears quarterback Brian Hoyer left last night's game against the Green Bay Packers with a broken left forearm, according to his head coach John Fox. Matt Barkley replaced Hoyer in the game, went 8-for-15 for just 81 yards through two interceptions. The Bears have 10 days now to hope that Jay Cutler's thumb is good enough to allow him to play going forward. The New York Giants, with all the Josh Brown evidence surfacing this week to the public, have signed free agent kicker Robbie Gould to kick for them at least for this upcoming Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams in London. They're hoping to get a roster exemption with Brown, but if the league doesn't offer one of those, they're going to have to cut somebody from the team if they want to hold on to both kickers going forward. Brown was suspended for the first game of the season, but the NFL is taking a ton of heat for not handing Brown a more severe punishment after he was accused of domestic violence. The league said yesterday that they were going to take another look at the Josh Brown situation in light of the new evidence that includes Brown's journal entries, in which he talks about abusing his wife and claims that he has been emotionally and physically abusive towards women since he was 7 years old. Also says that he was sexually abused as a child. Congress is planning to take another look at federal gambling laws because, as Frank Pallone Jr. from New Jersey says, the current federal gambling laws are obsolete and in desperate need of updating. For those who had that surge of excitement that maybe Congress would be looking to legalize sports gambling, it doesn't appear that way. Instead, it appears that Congress will be looking to reconcile some of the old laws that they have on the books to react to the growth of daily fantasy sports specifically, because your government hates how much fun you have playing fantasy sports. Sorry, that last bit was just my little editorial note on the whole thing, and that is the Honda Drive around the NFL.
I enjoyed your editorial note on the whole thing, however. What in the world? This Josh Brown story is crazy on a number of levels. The fact that it occurred the way it did is, you know, just you just never know what goes on behind closed doors, and you don't know what personal demons people struggle with. But the fact that he committed all this to paper, how is this coming out? I be honest with you, I've heard, you know, the details, but it was this part of a court proceeding with her where he was forced to give this up in discovery? Because I would think, I mean, why are you making this public unless you're just one of these people that feels like, you know what, you've hit rock bottom and turning your life around and doing the right thing is more important than your football career? Which, if that's the case, you know, I don't applaud any of his actions in the past, but you wish anybody well if they are sincere about, you know, heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know. And the whole thing has really blown up, obviously, in the last 36 hours, basically, and that's when the public got their hands on what was going on with that. There's some dispute over whether or not the league and the Giants could have had access to all this before now.
Right.
And I think that's where, like, a lot of the outrage is if the Giants and the NFL could have had access to what everyone's getting access to now and still made the decision that it was going to be one game, then it's like the Ray Rice situation all over again, where the league was perfectly happy suspending him for 3 games for the incident in that elevator. And then the public got view of that videotape, and it went crazy.
This was nuts, though, because you knew that the allegations existed, and the fact that he only got one game to begin with, even if you didn't know about this, it seemed like a light penalty in today's atmosphere.
She said 20 times.
Right.
She mentioned at least 20 incidents.
And it doesn't seem like he's disputing that.
No.
You know? Does he ever play again in the National Football League? I mean, I know they left him home from the trip to London.
I honestly, with the way that the whole thing got started a couple months ago and everything that came out here in the last 36 hours, that he's still on the roster is shocking to me. I mean, you sign Robbie Gould, it's a kicker, for goodness sake. Cut ties and move on. Right. I don't understand what they're waiting on.
You would think with the Ray Rice situation that it would have been a little bit more severe penalty than just one game.
To begin with.
Yeah. Let's overreact here as opposed to underreact like we did.
Right, he can always appeal it and have it reduced.
Yeah.
But, you go in with one, as we saw in the Rice situation. Once that initial penalty is set, you can't then change your mind and decide to pile on more.
And that's with, accusations and those kind of things. But once he also comes out and says, yes, I've been doing this, and now it
called himself a sociopath.
Yeah. Now things should really ramp up, and you should definitely be out indefinitely for however long, or just out, period. But
think about it. Dave, I mean, let's say he's done in New York. Who can sign him?
No,
who can take on that PR for a kicker?
Exactly. The PR is what you're going to be destroyed by. He's not going to be able to, just like Ray Rice hasn't been able to overcome it. And he's done so many things to better his life and his image of what everybody thinks of him, and he still can't get a chance, not even a chance.
Because that video exists, and it's burned into people's minds. And, that's when you – at least when I see Ray Rice or hear about him, that's the first thing I think
and
about.
So
and it always will be.
Yeah, and then whenever anybody else is, accused or has this domestic violent stuff to their name, you automatically think the same thing with the video on them too as well.
This from the New York Post, Tyler passes along. Josh Brown's alleged drunken behavior at this year's Pro Bowl, where NFL security moved his wife and children to a hotel out of harm's way from him, should have been a red flag to Mara, who gave the tortured soul the benefit of the doubt. So the NFL knew that there was an incident of drunken behavior that they felt like he posed a threat to his family to the point where they had to move them out of a hotel. So that they were certainly privy to, whether or not they were privy to all this journal stuff. Just an ugly, ugly situation. All right, we move on from that. 641-1010, the phone number. Theo in Arlington, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, fellas. How are you guys?
Great, thanks.
All right, keys to the game. Number one, they're going to have to pressure Carr. He hasn't been sacked too much. They're not going to sack him every play, but they got to disrupt him. Number two, they're going to have to put points on the board because this is not a very good Oakland defense. I think it's going to be a shootout potentially. Number three, get the running game going. They're going to have a balanced attack. And number four, no penalties.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. They cut down the penalties, Tony, last week.
They did. It was the cleanest game they played from that perspective to this point in the year. So, like I said earlier in the week, the team that's complaining about the penalties in the game last week is Chicago because they consistently killed themselves with penalty flags against the Jaguars. And, again, when you sat down, David, how did we win that game? Well, that's the question
that
we've been asking. How'd the Jaguars lose this game? We've asked that how many times. That's how Chicago felt after the game last week. It's something we haven't talked about a ton out of this point in the week because it's all been about trying to figure out what's been going wrong with the offense. How can they get it kickstarted? Where does this running game get started? They get the opportunity this week in a good matchup with Oakland. On the other side, there's an argument to be made that the Oakland Raiders offensive line may be second in the league only to Dallas. That's how good they've been this year. And we talk about the inconsistency in the running game for Oakland. Well, they're 13th in the league rushing. with everything that's going on, with all the flux in the backfield, with the names that have been in and out back there, they're 13th in the league rushing. Carr's been sacked 7 times. Now, part of that's a product of how quickly they get the ball out, but they make a ton of plays downfield, too. This is a really, really tough matchup up front for this Jaguars team that has two guys on the outside that are so young that they rely on to give them pass rush. In a game like this against Oakland, as good a player as I think Malik Jackson is, I think it's really difficult to push the middle of this Oakland Raiders offensive line. It presents a really bad matchup, honestly, for the Jacksonville Jaguars in this game on Sunday.
And then on the other line of scrimmage, you've got Khalil Mack, who had a sack last week. He now has 2 in his last 3 games, the first 2 he's had all season long. It's the kind of guy, Dave, who can wreck a game plan for you, you know?
And yeah, absolutely.
If you have an afternoon, whereas Tony's pointing out, Oakland's doing a great job protecting Carr, 7 sacks through 6 games, not, you know, that big a deal. And if you can't get consistent pressure on him, and on the other hand, if Khalil Mack gets going like he was playing last year, what did he have, 15 and a half, I think, last year, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That alone, I mean, you know, if you don't have the time, if Khalil Mack comes in, he's the one guy that can blow up, I think, any plans that you have on Sunday. So you're going to have to deal with him. How confident are you that the line that's been protecting Blake fairly well, how confident are you they can get the job done here?
Well, offensively, they're going to put some schemes together where they can, you know, get some guys chipping on them and double them when they can. I think that's how you kind of eliminate him and you make everybody else try to beat you if that's the case. You definitely don't want him to get off early just because that fuels that kind of a person. And it really motivates them and gives them that energy and juice to keep going. And he will. He is definitely a game wrecker. He would be one of those guys that you put up on the board at the beginning of the week saying, everybody knows who this guy is. We're going to put some stuff together so that he is not the one that is destroying our game, you know. So it's imperative that they somehow can always have, you know, 2 sets of hands, you know, hitting this guy at a time.
Here's Gus yesterday talking about Khalil Mack, the combo of speed and the power rush moves that he brings.
I would venture to say that a lot of teams, you know, every week you put together a pass rush tape and you look at, maybe you put it together from other guys across the league. He's a guy that you would watch, you know, because he has that rare trait. He's got great speed, speed to power, and, you know, you can see how he utilizes it. So I know our younger rushers, you know, to watch a guy like that, you know, has been good for him. So he's very talented, very talented.
15 sacks on the nose. I said 15 and a half, 15 on the nose last year for Khalil Mack. And of course, he made the Pro Bowl at 2 different positions, both as a linebacker and a defensive lineman. Last year, I believe they changed that. You're not allowed to do that anymore, but he will go down in history as someone who did. All right, we'll take a timeout here, come back, and open the phone lines back up to you at 641-1010. Also check in on the text line driven by Duval Ford, and hit up social media a little bit later on in terms of the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, looking for your keys to victory this Friday. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, the number 287-7756. I've recommended Bob to a number of my friends since the hurricane and since before the hurricane passed through, and they've all been very impressed with what he's been able to do, particularly how strong he is in negotiating with your insurance adjusters. I mean, that's a big part of the battle there. It's not just the work that he does, which is top quality work, but he'll go in there and be an advocate for you as well. Call Bob and company at 287-7756 if you have any concerns about your roof ongoing. You just want to make sure it's checked out for the next storm that may pass through. License number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Our Friday sponsor, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think they're ranked 8th overall, but they're putting up a lot of points, averaging 28 points a game. When you're doing that in the NFL after 6 games, I mean, that's playing at a real high level. So the ability to put points on the board, take advantage of the red zone, they're 80% in the red zone.
Very impressive.
You know, so they're playing at a high level.
That's Gus Bradley on the Raider offense, and those averages, despite the fact that they scored 10 last week and beat Tennessee 17-10, so they've had some very high-scoring performances without question this year. Josh Dubow, who covers the Raiders for the Associated Press, will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes, and we'll get that side of the story, what's going on over there. Dave, from your vantage point, despite the ill-timed decision to try to force in a Mercedes at the goal line, how come, in your opinion, the Jags are not able to get the tight end more involved than they have been so far?
You know, that's a great question. It doesn't even seem like they're targeting them that much. You know, I don't see very many plays being run specifically for the tight end other than Mercedes screens, you know, that have been actually productive. But there's just got to be something where you do flex out Julius Thomas and get him one-on-one with a linebacker or a safety, and you take advantage of that, especially teams that like to play a lot of man coverage, you know. But I don't know. I'm not sure why they're not utilizing him much. I'm not sure what's happening in practice and in the film room and those kind of things. It almost seems like they're trying to get the ball to their receivers, which is great. But you want to be able to get it to all these guys so that defenses have no answer. You know, we can roll a safety over top of A-Rob and take him out of the game for the most part.
Then we're going to kill you underneath with this, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you would think you would get more of that kind of stuff. And just a talent like Julius Thomas, you know, a person that can run, catch, and, you know, just be a big receiver out there, you would think he would have more opportunities. But there's not even many targets his way.
Here's one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Bear with me. It's a longish one here. Say we do go 8-8 in some miracle of a way. There's an optimistic phrasing. When do we get tired of these squeeze-by victories? Out of Gus Bradley's career here, we've only won, I believe, two or three games by more than a touchdown. Shouldn't we as fans deserve to see a top-tier performance blow out once in a while? We can't always be a field goal win team. It's gone on too long, and if this game is a bust on Sunday, our schedule doesn't get easier. Everyone in the division is either struggling from injuries or playing with a roster of young guys just like we are. Thanks for the show, guys. Look, it's your prerogative to be tired of anything whenever you feel like it. As a collective, as a fan base, I don't know if I can speak for that. Let's say this, if they – you know, 8-8 might not be good enough this year, but let's say they went 9-7. Whatever, let's say they were able to win the division or a wild card spot, or at least significant, really contend for one, right? And you're winning all your games by 3 to 6 points. I don't know if people are going to be too upset with that as long as you're winning enough of those games. Eventually, you'd like to move from that point to where you're winning them at arm's length and you're winning, pulling away, and you're having some easier victories, Dave. But right now, to me, this team is just at the stage now where I think a one-point victory is as gorgeous as anything we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Can you guys hear me?
We cannot. Uh-oh. David Garrard, I just heard a squelch. And are you back?
There he is. I am back.
Hi.
Here I am. Hello. You know, it's not just the fact that we're losing them close or winning them close. It's the way we're winning them or losing them close. We don't look productive all day, and right, then all of a sudden we squeak out a win. I would be more than happy with, you know, squeaked out wins if we're, you know, going up and down the field. They're making plays too. We're making plays. It's a fun, exciting, you know, game, but it's not that way. It's, you know, two quarters of just awful. And then, you know, we get a turnover here, or we actually do go down and score a touchdown. It's the way we're performing throughout those games. We don't look good half the time, and then somehow we, you know, still win. And, yeah, I'm with them. I would like to see some games where we play like the Bears, and we're supposed to win the game handily, and we do win by 10 points or 12, 13, 14, whatever it is. We're not getting those games. We're right there with everybody, or we're losing games that we should win, and I think that's what he's getting fed up with.
Yeah, and I can understand that. Look, I'm not gonna — any fan can react any way they like to whatever they see out there. That's your prerogative. You're the ones paying the money to show up. Here's an interesting look at Allen Robinson last year compared to this year at the same point. Tyler, is the 2015, is that through this point, or is that for the entirety of last season?
The entirety of last season, I believe.
All right, Adam Levitan, who's with Fantasy Labs and FanDuel, just ran some numbers, and he talking about his usage and what percentage of throws goes away, how successful they're being on that. Because the feeling is that they're not getting Robinson very involved.
Yeah.
Or he's certainly not having – even if they are targeting him, they're not having nearly the same kind of success. 2015, he played 93.1% of the snaps. This year, he's playing 94%. So that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You're going to come off the field on occasion. He's being targeted 9.5 times. Last year, 9.5 times per game on average. This year, 9.4.
Yeah.
So they're going to him just as much as they did last year. Last year, the percentage catch rate that he had of balls thrown his way was 52.3%. This year, it's 51.1. It's just, I think, Dave, I wonder if it's just that they're not getting the big ones. You know, the raw numbers in terms of targets, success on those targets and completions doesn't factor in yards per catch. You know, last year it seemed like every week from a certain point on through the end of the season, every week they're hitting him on a couple of deep balls a game. And that is, I think, the number one thing that defense has been able to take away so far.
Yeah, well, they're putting a safety over top of him most of the time, so it's going to be tougher to get those balls down the sideline like he did early in the game last week. Did it say how many drops he's had this year?
It did not.
It didn't say how many drops. I think it's just been the inconsistency with Blake that has, you know, made his start a little bit not the same like you would want it to be like it was last year. I think if they are staying on the field longer, now he's going to get more opportunities. It appears like they're off the field so fast that, you know, now he's got to wait till the next, you know, set of downs to be able to get back out there and maybe get his chance to get a couple shots at him. Yes, they definitely need to target him more. But I think the longer they're on the field with some of those drives like they had to start the game with the Bears, then he's going to get some of those big plays, and he's going to get those, you know, 5-yard catches that he turns into a 20-yard, you know, get some yak out of there.
Yeah, and when nobody in the building is complaining about the pass protection right now, and the questions we have going through the week are, well, how do we get Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Julius Thomas more involved, then that's the quarterback.
Exactly.
Isn't playing well enough right now to get these guys involved in the offense.
Which excuse me one second, it has resulted in what we're talking about, yards per catch, 17.5 last year. He and Hurns were among the league leaders all season long, down to 12 this year. That's a really, really big one-season drop.
It is, and it's, you know, I don't want to keep talking about Blake's confidence, but it's his confidence not throwing the ball accurately to the guys down the field. You know, he's had guys down the field, but he's missed them. And then he's had opportunities, and he hasn't taken them. So for whatever reason, hopefully coming into this game, a game that he has the opportunity to make these big plays happen. They've been happening all year against this defense. Here's his chance to go out and get it done.
All right, let's come back on the other side. Let's talk a little Raiders. What are they bringing to town? We know they're bringing what's been a leaky defense, but are they expecting to get things turned around this week? Josh Dubow covers the team for the Associated Press, and he will join us on the line coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard here with you on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for a change on Jaguars Today. Let's welcome our next guest to the Haviland Express Lube hot seat. Haviland Express Lube, fast, friendly service.
They're both tremendous competitors. Really, I think both of those guys are tremendous competitors, and they certainly are. You look at them, they're their own two individuals, but they're young quarterbacks that were thrown in the league, had to play early as rookies. They've both gone through changes in coordinators, but they're just tremendous competitors, and they both prepare very well. They're both very intelligent players.
That is Jaguar current offense coordinator Greg Olson. He should know something about them going through coordinator changes, Tony, as he was Cars and now he's Bortles, and he was just comparing those two players who came into the league in the same year. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and David Garrard here with you. Josh Dubow covers the Raiders for the Associated Press, and he's good enough to join us for a few minutes this morning. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're fine. Hey, listen, on this coast, I doubt you guys pay much attention to us out west, but on this coast, we're kind of looking at the Raiders and the Jaguars as similar in terms of what they try to do rebuilding these teams, bringing in a franchise quarterback in the same year, in back-to-back years, getting a guy they hope is a centerpiece pass rusher, and things like that. So there's been some similarities in the timeline. Do Raider fans acknowledge that or even notice that? I mean, here, this to us, this is a good measuring stick game for a young team and to see if the way the Jags are rebuilding it is better than the Raiders. What about from your perspective?
No, I think Raider fans view that the same way. I think it is a good measuring stick. There are a lot of similarities. You have defensive head coaches. You got the young quarterbacks. You got teams who've been pretty bad for a while and trying to turn things around. So, yeah, I definitely think that it's a comparison point for both teams.
When you look at the Raiders' defense this year compared to last year, what is not working this year that was last year, and is there any reason as to why?
The biggest, you know, last year's defense wasn't great. This year's defense is just a lot worse. The biggest difference is, and Ken Norton's big theory on defense is don't let him beat you over the top. And last year, the passer rating against the Raiders on deep passes was the worst in the NFL, and Charles Woodson was a big part of that. Woodson's gone. They had Reggie Nelson there, a guy you guys know well. And he has not fit in as well as they had hoped. And they've allowed as many deep passes as anyone in the league. They're tied for the most deep passes allowed this year. They've gotten beat deep a bunch of times. And that's really, I think, been the main difference is just those few big, you know, take a defense that wasn't great, add a few more big plays, and now you see what you got, where you have defense on pace to give up the most yards in NFL history.
Yeah, and of course, Khalil Mack last year with the 15 sacks, certainly well off that pace so far this year. Are teams just, you know, double and triple teaming him? Is that the reason for the lesser production, or is there, you know, just one of those kind of fluky things and he's liable to get a few in bunches?
He's liable to get a few in bunches. Teams are putting more attention on him, but even last year, he didn't have a lot of sacks early. He had 5 sacks in one game against Denver and 8 sacks in the span of 3 weeks. So his sacks come in bunches. He's still playing well. He's getting pressure on the quarterback. He's good against the run. They are paying more attention to him, and, you know, it may not be as easy to get 15 sacks this year, but he's definitely not the problem on their defense. It's, you know, they have plenty of problems on their defense. It's not him.
Gotcha.
On the offensive side of the ball, you know, we talked a few moments ago about the comparisons between the Raiders and Jags, and with all the similar things that they did go different directions when it came to trying to fix their offensive lines, and the Raiders seem to have put together a pretty darn good one. How good have they been through the first 6 games this year?
They've been very good. The game against Kansas City last week was definitely their worst. Austin Howard struggled a little bit at right tackle that game. They might get Menelik Watson back at right tackle this week. He's back practicing this week. They've had 5 different guys play right tackle this year with people getting hurt all the time. But it seems everyone who gets hurt is a right tackle on offense. So they should be a little better this week. But no, the offensive line has definitely been a strong point. They've protected Carr well. They ran the ball well the first couple weeks. The running game hasn't been quite as good with Latavius Murray out the last couple weeks, but he also should be back this week. So I think they're expecting a little boost there.
Yeah, with these other guys, Washington and Rashard, a couple of young guys, I think they're high on them. But, you know, they had been kind of splitting the reps evenly, at least from my vantage point, with Latavius Murray prior to that. Do you expect with the struggles in the running game with Murray coming back that he is going to be more of the focal point of the run offense?
Yeah, it's just like they'll split it up a little bit. You know, the guys do different things well. You know, I think Washington and Rashard are probably a little bit better receivers than Murray. And, you know, they want to get the fullback Jermaine Owusu more involved, even carrying the ball. You know, they said they had a couple plays for him last week that they ended up checking out of and would have liked to have used him a little more. He's a deceptively good runner. You know, Murray will get the most carries, but I think the split won't be – it won't be like last year where Murray was on the field about 80 or 90% of the snaps. I think it's going to be much closer to an even split with Murray getting probably a little bit more than the other 2 guys.
Josh DeBow, who covers the Oakland Raiders for the AP, joining us here on Jaguars Today. And sticking with the offensive side of the ball, Derek Carr going into his 3rd year. Where have you seen the most growth from him going from his 2nd to here early in the 3rd season?
Yeah, he's throwing the ball downfield even a little better this year than he had in the past. He's hanging in the pocket. He's willing to just hold on to the ball maybe just a little, you know, maybe have 1 instant longer just to let a play develop. He's really stepped up his game each year. You know, the interesting thing will be last year he was really good in the first half and struggled a bit the second half of the season. There were some injuries to other guys that played a factor in that too. But, you know, I think they hope he can build on what he's done earlier this year and keep improving as the year goes on.
All right, Josh, let's be honest. We don't want JDR coming back in here and beating us, okay? We got to send him back to the West Coast with his tail between his legs. Jack, of course, spent some time out in Denver on the coaching staff as defensive coordinator, even interim head coach. What kind of job would you say he's done? What have been the strengths and maybe even a weakness of or two that you've seen from him in his year plus in Oakland?
Well, I think the biggest strength is just being a head coach. The overall, just overseeing everything. He's been able to rebuild their facility. You know, their facility that they practiced in was totally out of date, and he was able to get the owner to commit significant money to build a new weight room, put new fields in, things like that, and just the big picture stuff he's been very good at. The players believe in him, which is important. I think the negative obviously has to be the defense. The defense hasn't played well. He's a defensive coach. He's not the coordinator. They asked Ken Norton Jr. doing that, but he's heavily involved in the defense, and this defense has to play better. Especially when you have a defensive coach, you got to be able to play better. I think it's interesting. You have a general manager, defensive coordinator, and a head coach are all NFL linebackers of, pretty decent success, and they have struggled to find inside linebackers who can play well. And I don't know if it's that they think they can just coach it up at that position because they know it so well. It's like we can put anyone there and we can get them to play well, or what the situation is. But it wasn't a position they addressed in the draft or free agency very much, and it's coming back to bite them right now.
All right, Josh, this is a Raiders team that has gone from the West Coast over here to the East. They've won a couple times already this year. They're 3-0 on the road, despite the fact that they're playing the kind of level of defense that we've been talking about here. How do you expect the game to play out against the Jags on Sunday?
I would expect it to be pretty much outside of the game against Kansas City. Every game the Raiders have played has pretty much gone down to the final couple minutes. I think this will probably be another one of those types of games. I think it'll probably be high scoring, and it might come down to who gets the ball last. And yeah, the Raider defense has, they've done one thing well. They've actually come up with a couple late stops in games to hold on to wins. But these teams seem pretty even to me. I don't see a whole lot of difference. I think it'll probably come down to the end.
All right, you making the trip out to Jacksonville this weekend?
I am not. I will be watching one of Florida's other teams. I'll be at the Tampa Bay San Francisco game on Sunday.
So. All right. Well, enjoy the weekend. We encourage folks, if they want to know more about the Raiders, give you a follow on Twitter at Josh Dubow, AP for Associated Press, DUBOW for Josh. Josh, we appreciate the time today, and tell Jack we said hi.
Sounds good. Thanks. Talk to you
later.
Thank
you, buddy. You got it. Josh Dubow with the Associated Press covering the Oakland Raiders. Today, Tony, we asked folks, as we typically do on Friday, for some keys to victory, keys to go streak and extend that streak to three games. What did we get on Twitter?
From Colby, we got Bortles, Bortles, Bortles. From Amish Jaguar, lock down the banks, set up defenses from possible raids, and let the Jaguar loose. We do need to still get that Jaguar on the sideline, despite
maybe a whole bunch of them.
The distance of how far they can urinate was the issue we got.
They'll put them on the opposing team sideline.
Yes. From Cameron, give up on being a run-first team, generate some kind of pass rush, and pressure Oakland by scoring early in the game. From Jarrell, no turnovers, no dumb penalties, and keep chopping wood. Whoops, wrong coach. My bad. From Brian, first you got to do your job, then if that's great job, you'll steal the show.
There you go.
And from 13-3 Believer, run ivory down their throats. Blake plays backyard football, and don't be the flag wars.
You got to hit all the highlights there with some of the those are some of the greatest hits. Connor on Facebook said, "Be solid, sweep the corners, do your job." So everyone's kind of piling on there, and I got to read one more set. Heckle Jack Del Zero on the sideline until he cracks. Sack Derek Carr like his brother David five or more times, and somebody give Bortles some happy pills so he doesn't get depressed every bad play. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag we're going streaking. David Garrard, I need some keys to victory. What are the most important things for the Jags to focus on if they're going to come away with a win?
Well, my first one would be for Blake to get his confidence back with this game. Come out strong. Start fast.
Fast start.
Yeah, absolutely. Defensive line. Get some pressure. Move him off his mark. Move Derek Carr. Derek Carr off his mark. And then my third one would be, How about some turnovers? Let's get a turnover. You know,
how about a pick six?
Something like that. Just a pick.
How about a sack, fumble, scoop, and score?
Love
something
it.
Like that,
I
right?
would love to see something like that.
Yeah, just, and where Carr gets up limping, you know, not that permanently, yeah. you know, disabled, but.
But I think it's okay if our team gets turnovers, right?
I think we're allowed to. Allowed. Under the rules, okay. it is technically
we didn't
allowed,
sign yes. anything that negates
no waivers.
Okay, good. So maybe a couple turnovers here and there.
All right, there you go. Get some turnovers. Tony, you got anything you want to get out there? I'll talk about mine, obviously, in the pregame.
Yeah, but. I mean, I think this is obviously a team you can't let the Raiders establish the run. If you do that, with as well as they throw the ball, you're going to be in a world of hurt. This is a defense that's designed to stop opponents running games, so you can't let that get started. And I think you can almost just make a list of how many big plays are made on both sides, and whichever team has more of them at the end of the day is going to win. And this is a Jaguars team that hasn't been very good at creating those opportunities. We just heard the Raiders are very bad at preventing those opportunities. They've been very good at creating them, the Raiders have, on offense. So I think if this is one of those weeks where the Jags make one more big play, explosive play, than the Oakland Raiders, I think that could be the difference in this football game.
All right, we'll look for that. What do you have coming up tonight? You got Bulls football tonight?
We got Bulls football, Fernandina Beach, coming over to the campus over there off of San Jose. So you can come check it out. Kickoff at 7:30 tonight. Our coverage here on 1010XL starts tonight at 7:15. So I'll be over there for that as we get ready for the big one next week against Reigns when they'll come over to Bulls next week in a district contest. But Fernandina Beach tonight, and then I'll be back for the pregame show, 8 to 10, from Tailgaters Parking here as we get ready for the Raiders on Sunday morning, and obviously the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show.
See, I thought that was the big one.
We'll be recording after the show today, but it'll air tomorrow at 11 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11:30.
There you go. You hit all the highlights, Dave.
I've got JDL, Ponte Vedra Sharks, tomorrow morning. Saturday, so a little Justin Garrard's going to get out there and tear it up.
Nice.
You know, so it's a big event.
It sounds like it.
It's a whole hour of football.
One full hour of football.
That's pretty good. By the way, the last text we just got in today was, and it's for David, did you get the okay from Jack to do the radio show today?
You know
that
what?
So well played.
Didn't even have to ask this time.
Give that person a T-shirt.
Yes,
that is
absolutely.
So freaking well played. And it's a Friday, too. Hey, Jack, how do you feel about that, buddy? Okay. Dave, oh my gosh, how that would bring.
Once
back.
You focus on the game that's coming up, it's too late in the week for you to be talking about the past.
It brings back bad, bad memories for me, David Garrard.
Yeah, I know
but
it.
You know, because it was so stressful being a mile away from your house,
yeah,
just hanging out with your family,
rehashing old stuff.
Oh my goodness! Although I do recall one of the first questions you got was about. Should the Jags draft Tebow basically to come take your job?
So, great start to that show.
Maybe Jack saved us all from a lot of headaches going forward. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Again, thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Thanks to Bob for the work he's been doing to get Holmes back up in shape. You know, and repair and replace roofs, work with insurance contractors. If you have any roofing issues, 287-756 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for David Garrard, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, getting ready to wrap things up and turn it over to the Midday Chalk. Dave, don't forget Retro Fitness. Go to RetroJacks.com. And the $10 down, you don't pay another penny until January 1st. Pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
Coming to the game on Sunday, I take it.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, I'll see you there. Actually, I won't see you because I'll be in here. But you're welcome to stop by. You know, you could pop in on us.
And, probably not.
And chat it up. thought that might be the case as well. Got to get permission from JDR. Yeah. All right. That's good, Dave. Good to see you in your purple shirt. And good luck in the Fantasy League this week. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. There he goes, David Garrard. That does it for Jaguars today. Stick around. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL at 92.5 FM. All right, speaking of weight loss and getting in shape, you guys, I've been talking about my friends at Beachbody On Demand for the last few weeks here. The weight, that's been coming off, and it's been staying off. Been doing a lot of cardio, but I want to tighten up, get fitter. And with Beachbody On Demand, I have access to over $6,000 worth of the most effective fitness and nutrition programs ever created. I log in. I usually do it on my iPad. You can do it on your smart TV. You can do it on any of your devices, really. And you've got a full library of all the videos, things like P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix Extreme, you name it. If it's a popular workout program, it's probably available on Beachbody On Demand. And you can get a 30-day free membership to try it out with no obligation going forward. For Jaguars Today listeners, simply text my last name, Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, to 30 30-30-30. You text Dempsey to 30-30-30. You'll get a full 30 days of access to the entire platform for free with Beachbody On Demand. Don't just drop the weight. Get in shape as well. The way to do it, Beachbody On Demand.
You guys have a good day. Peace.